I encourage you, please read our bulletin this week. There's a lot of stuff happening. The one thing I want to make you aware of is next Sunday, May 4th, we're going to have a commissioning service for David Yip. So last month, we announced that he's joining on as a spiritual director, but what does that mean? So that's what we're going to talk about next week, and I'm going to have him up on stage. I'm going to interview him, kind of ask him questions. This is a very specific and new role to our church, so please come out, and you can learn more about what David's going to be doing here and what that looks like, and we'll be praying over him and commissioning him in this role. So let me pray for us here this morning, and then we'll jump into the message. So Jesus, today we do pause here in your presence, and we just pray that you would just be working in this place, that we would be encountering you and knowing you, even as the church always has a lot going on in different programs and events. God, would you be glorified through each of these? So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Something I love about this city, I think it's hilarious, is you can always tell when it's playoff season, right? Like, I knew there was going to be jerseys here. I just knew it. We already have two. And I think that, like, grows more and more as the playoffs go on. And I just think it's hilarious because if you imagine you time traveled and it was a random month and you were just observing the city of Edmonton, you'd probably be able to tell if it was the playoffs or not. And I think that's hilarious. And I think it's like that with a lot of things. We're like formed or shaped by a lot of things that are going on, or maybe things that we're watching, things that we're consuming. Maybe you read a book and you're just like really into that book and it just affects how you live your life that week. Sometimes Zoe and I have found we'll be reading maybe like a philosophy book or something like that, and we have to like catch each other because we're like, maybe you're feeling kind of sad because you're reading this book, you know? And we have to kind of be aware of the things that are forming us and shaping us in our life, because it's actually quite evident how we live our life, how we feel, what we've been consuming, and what we've been focusing on. And it can be actually pretty easy, I think, to tell what's been shaping us. And I think it's important for us to be aware of that, of what's forming us, what's shaping us. And I wonder, is it obvious, would it be obvious to an outsider that we are formed and shaped every day by Jesus? It's an interesting thought. Like, obviously, we're here on Sunday, right? But like, throughout the week, is it obvious to an outsider that we're being formed and shaped by Jesus? Kind of around Easter this year, I preached on this mini-series about this Christ-centered life. What does it mean to live a Christ-centered life? And we've kind of looked at a few different aspects of that. We talked about the fourfold gospel. We talked about discipleship. And today I'm going to wrap this up for us, hopefully in a practical way, on what it really can look like practically to live a Christ-centered life. To actually see Jesus as the center of who we are and follow him, not just by coming on a Sunday morning, but practically in real time following Jesus. So my hope today is that this is a bit of a refresher actually for a lot of us. We're going to be looking at listening to God's voice, right? Like we practiced last summer as we prepared for our communal discernment. And we're going to be looking at that and really looking at what it looks like to follow Jesus practically throughout our weeks. J.I. Packer, in one of his books, he asks the question, what are we made for? What were we made for as humans? What's like our purpose? What's the point? And his answer is that we are made to know God. What's the point? To know God. And Packer, he goes on in this book to explain that there's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God, right? We can have all this head knowledge, but do we truly know God? He explains that when you truly know God, you have energy to serve him, boldness to share him, and contentment in God. That's our purpose, is to know God. And really, as we're going to be looking at, and hopefully we've been looking at through this mini-series, is that our relationship with Jesus is that. It's a relationship. It's something we grow in. It's a relationship as we know Jesus and as we give him access to our lives. We can ask, are we just Christian because we know the Easter story, we know that Jesus died, took our place, and one day we'll go to heaven? Or are we people that truly know and practically follow Jesus here and now? Right, because this is something we talk about on Sunday mornings, right? We follow Jesus. We follow him. And that's something we come on Sunday mornings. Maybe you go to your fellowship. But my prayer is that that's not just something that we talk about on Sundays or something that we do or take seriously in the dramatic moments in our life where we feel like we need God or need to depend on God. But my prayer is that we can learn what it means to follow Jesus, for him to actually be our leader in our everyday life. Not just to depend on him when we feel like we need it, but as we're living our everyday life. Jesus, he doesn't just want us to know him on Sunday mornings or when you're at your disciple group or your fellowship, but he wants us to know him even on the normal Tuesday. When you go to work, you go to the grocery store. How are we knowing Jesus in those moments? Are we aware of his presence and being transformed by him, even in our everyday normal life? 1 Thessalonians 5, it has a verse that I find very interesting and very convicting and has really challenged me over the past few years, where Paul is speaking to the church and he tells them to pray constantly. Some translations say pray without ceasing. What a challenge, right? What a challenge for us. That probably doesn't mean like you're constantly, every moment of every day, like asking God for things or speaking to God. But what does it mean to constantly, without ceasing, be in this prayer, in this union, in this relationship with Jesus? Not just Sundays, right? But pray constantly. This idea of at all times being in union with Christ. Henry Nouwen, he says this, even while we are talking, studying, gardening, or building, the prayer can continue in our heart and keep us aware of God's ever-present guidance. What a beautiful description, I think, of this praying constantly. Whatever you're doing, maybe you're at work, typing on your computer, maybe you're driving to work, you're shopping, maybe you're with friends, you're talking to them, whatever you're doing, this prayer can continue in our hearts. And that word aware is so important, right? Aware of his ever-present guidance. Is this how we live as we commune with Jesus? Can we walk with God throughout our normal everyday life and know him in real time? Not just when we look back, we say, you know, I saw God's hand, that's good. But in real time, can we know and be aware of his presence? So this is kind of the point, knowing God and walking with him, not just on Sundays, but throughout our everyday life. But there's some things that can keep us from actually knowing God, I think. There's a lot of things. Maybe we believe lies about our presence with God or lies about our identity, things like that. But one major thing that I think keeps us from God is simply that we're really busy. Right? How easy is it to get a little bit too busy and, you know what, I didn't even think of Jesus today. You know what, there were so many distractions. Life felt so chaotic, I didn't even think about it. Or, you know, you're just running around all day, every day, and you're not really aware of God's presence. Dallas Willard, this feels like an infamous quote now, he said this, "Hurry is the enemy of spiritual life. We must ruthlessly eliminate hurry in our life." Think about that. Our lives are so defined by busyness, by hurry, by running around and doing different errands. And these things, I think, can keep us from being aware of God's presence. It's not necessarily a bad thing to be busy, but how can we infuse that with being aware of God's presence? Actually have that discipline to be aware of God, even as we're running about our busy life, maybe while you're driving. What does it look like to pray to God and spend time with him? when you're with your family? How can you infuse God into those conversations? Are we being intentional and aware with knowing Jesus in our everyday life? Maybe that does mean slowing down a little bit and inviting him in. Doug Balzer, he's a longtime Alliance worker. He talks about how if we actually want to be transformed by Jesus, that starts with invitation and giving him access. We actually have to invite God into our busy lives, into our day-to-day, and give him access, and that's where he starts to change us. So our desire really is that we could know God. And part of knowing God is actually listening to his voice, right? Like spending time with him, listening to him. This is something we've been doing as a church, right? Trying to actually listen. God, where are you taking us? Where do you want us to go? And this is an important part of discipleship, actually learning his voice. Because we see it throughout the Bible. God speaks to people kind of all the time. It's kind of strange. If you read the stories of the Bible, God is speaking often. And it's kind of weird to us because it seems normal to a lot of them. They don't even bat an eye. It's like, yeah, God is speaking. God says this. And to so many characters in the Bible, God is speaking. And I think we run into the danger of thinking, okay, well, these are Bible characters. Like, obviously, God talks to them. But does he talk to us? Again, Dallas Willard, we'll quote him a lot today. He explains that these instances are not meant to be exceptional, but rather, these are examples of the normal human life that God intended for us. That actually God intends that we can hear him, that we can know him, and that he would be able to lead us as we go about our everyday life. And often if we can't hear God's voice, often again, it's some kind of a lie that we have in our lives, that we don't believe we can hear God's voice. And that's a lie we have to renounce, and we see in the scriptures that Jesus does speak. And that's a lie we have to renounce. I renounce this lie that I can't hear your voice, and I accept that you are the God that speaks. Let's look at this in John chapter 10. Starting in verse 2 here. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. So here we are the sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. And it says, the sheep hear and the sheep know his voice. It's actually like a description of being a disciple, that we know his voice. And because of that, we follow him. We know where to go because he is leading us. Really, a distinct characteristic of being a disciple is that we learn and know the voice of Jesus. I love at the end, it's so interesting. It says, they will never follow a stranger, but they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Disciples of Jesus, we can actually discern God's voice from other voices. Isn't that an amazing description? This is a distinct characteristic. We recognize Jesus' voice, and we can discern and distinguish that voice from all other voices around us. This is part of discipleship, learning to follow the voice of Jesus. But friends, I think it's obvious that it's easy for us to miss or maybe to misidentify God's voice. It's something we have to learn. We don't just run into this and become perfect disciples and perfect at knowing God and knowing where he's leading us, but this is something that we learn. God, he doesn't just shout at us from the sky, but often it's a quieter voice. There's a great story in 1 Kings chapter 19 where Elijah, he's up on a mountain and he's kind of told to go to the side of the mountain and God's going to appear to him. And Elijah, he sees all these dramatic things. There's like an earthquake, but it says God was not in that. There's like fire, but God is not in the fire. There's a really strong wind, but God is not in the wind. And then Elijah's standing there, and the Hebrew translation, it's super interesting, but it's like this quiet, soft, gentle presence. came to Elijah, spoke to Elijah, and that's where God was. I think sometimes it's easy to miss God because we look for him in the really dramatic things. We look for him in big moments in life. Maybe we only look for him on Sunday mornings, but I wonder, what if God is speaking to us more than we realize just in our normal everyday life and we miss him? We're unaware of him. We're unaware of his whisper or his soft impressions in our hearts. It's so important for us to be aware of God, because that's a scary thought, isn't it? What if we are missing God more often than we realize? And he's speaking to us and trying to make us aware of something and trying to lead us somewhere, but we're in the busyness of life and we're not aware of his quiet voice. Are we aware of his presence in our everyday life? And when we do hear something or there's an impression in our hearts, how do we know it's God speaking to us, right? There's so many other voices, like maybe we're just distracted or maybe we're like, is this just my own voice or the voice of the enemy? We need to learn God's voice. And we need to learn that so that we can follow him and so that he can lead us. The first thing about this, I think, is hearing God's voice is all about this relationship. It's about proximity. You can't hear God's voice if you're really far away and distant from him. It's about proximity. Are we spending time with God? Again, hopefully this is a refresher for us from last summer when we did our collective discernment, but I think this is a helpful refresher, some things to look out for, to help us to recognize, is this God leading me somewhere? There's some things to look out for. Again, this is from Dallas Willard in his book about hearing God. And he lists three things that I've found as helpful. Is this God speaking to me? The first is the quality of the voice or the impression. There's a certain quality to it. There's an impact that it makes. It makes an impression on us. God, he actually speaks with an authority. He's not argumentative. He's not going to argue with you. He's not going to speak to your ego. It's not going to be something shallow, but God speaks with a certain quality that makes an impact on us. The second thing Dallas Willard talks about is the character. If you think God might be saying something to you or leading you somewhere or making an impression on your heart, you can be aware of the character. What is this like? The voice of God, it's peaceful, it's confident, it's joyful, it's good, and it's loving. God's voice, it's never shameful. It's not out to condemn you. It might convict you, but that's different than a shameful condemnation. The character of God's voice is sweet and calm. And lastly, he talks about content, right? And this one seems obvious. It has to be something that God would say. If you feel like God is leading you somewhere, is that something that God would do? Is this something that actually makes sense, something that's biblical, something that's within his character? God would not tell us something that's unbiblical or unloving or anything like that. And friends, as we learn to know God's voice and his impressions on our hearts, it becomes easier. This is something we grow in as disciples of Jesus. His voice is distinguishable and we can learn it, and it can become an everyday practice in our lives where we invite God, what do you have to say to me? Ruth Haley Barton, she's another great author on this topic. She says this, "The habit of discernment is a quality of attentiveness to God so intimate that over time we develop an intuitive sense of God's heart and purpose in any given moment. We become familiar with God's voice, the tone, quality, and content, just as we become familiar with the voice of someone we know well." So it's helpful, right? How do we know the voice of anyone well? It's from spending time with them, practice, getting to know them better. So if we're going to grow in this, because this is a big part of being Christ-centered in our life, is actually learning to follow Jesus and invite and ask, Jesus, where are you leading me? Where are you leading us? Is to know his voice. Let's look at some practice tips. And again, hopefully this is a bit of a refresher from last year when we originally started teaching on this. How can we become a people that know and recognize God's voice? And these are some tips that I've found helpful. The first one is simply time. Are we actually spending time with God? Right, like we can't expect to just be perfect at this if we're not practicing it, if we're not doing this in community and working on this as disciples of Jesus. Spend time listening to God. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in the word. Get to know him more. The second one is to test. Right, we're not perfect. Not everything we hear or think God is leading us towards is going to be right or perfect. We're going to make mistakes. That's part of why we have to be tentative. I don't think it's helpful when we say, God told me this. It's more helpful, I think, when we say something like, I think God might be telling me something like this. I think that's more helpful. 1 John 4, it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So we can test these things. I think God might be leading me somewhere, but is this biblical? Is this something God would say? And ask people in the community as well. Do you think this might be God that's speaking? The third one here is together. We do this often in community, right? When the pastors and elders, we go away to kind of ask God what he's up to, where he's leading us. This is something we do in community. And that's so helpful. This is something we can do in disciple groups, in your leadership groups, in your different ministries. And often you'll see, and it's helpful to do in community, because often you'll see specific strands of themes or thoughts. And often you can just say, well, that's where God is moving. If we see a lot of repetition, it's pretty clear. Okay, maybe God is trying to tell us this. It's so helpful to listen to God in community. The last one here is trust. Trust. And I say that, yes, we're tentative, right? We have to be tentative about these things. We're not always going to be perfect. But we can also trust, right? You have the Spirit of the living God in you. And you can actually trust that this might be God speaking. I've seen so many people, we're listening to God, we're practicing this, and it's like, okay, I think I got a picture or a word, but I don't know. It's probably just my own thought. It's probably, you know what, just forget about it. I encourage us, actually trust, right? This is why we test. We're not perfect, but we can trust that God might actually be speaking through you. So hopefully these are some helpful tips practically for this. Friends, we learn to hear God's voice, not because it's a cool trick at all, but because we want to follow Jesus. Right? This is why we practice this and learn this, because we want to follow Jesus well. Because we actually practically in real time want to know the will of God and follow him. Not just in the big moments of life, but throughout our days, we want to follow him. And this is a way that he leads us as we learn his voice, because he is Lord. Because he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. We need him because he really is in charge of our lives, of our church, of our ministries. Often, we quote scriptures about Jesus being the head of the church. You probably heard that, right? Colossians 1 talks about it. It talks about it a lot in the New Testament. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is king. Right, this last week we prayed for the election. And we remembered that no matter who wins an election, that actually Jesus is the only true eternal king. We talk about like Jesus, he is in charge here, right? Jesus, he is in charge of this church. He is in charge of our lives. This is something we talk about. But I do wonder, if somebody observed us, would that be obvious to them? If somebody observed us, would it actually be obvious that Jesus is in charge? Even in our church, like a church meeting, I think this is something we try to be more aware of. If someone were to observe a church meeting, would it be obvious to them that Jesus is the one in charge of that meeting? Maybe in your disciple groups or your fellowships, is it obvious from an outsider that you are allowing Jesus to lead your group? Maybe in your own life, would it be obvious to someone from the outside that Jesus is the head of your life? right? Because we say these things, Jesus is in charge, Jesus is the head, Jesus is king, but do we practically and regularly give Jesus the floor? Do we regularly invite Jesus to be the functional head of our meetings or our groups or our lives? In the Alliance, I think we've been convicted and challenged of this in the last few years. One of our Alliance workers, Jeremy Peters, he's given infamous talks now, I think, on this idea of Jesus actually being the functional head of our churches. Often our church meetings, you know, we're kind of raised in this. We start the meeting with prayer and end with prayer, but is Jesus really in charge in the middle of those prayers? Right, we have like an hour or two of business, or maybe in your groups, an hour or two of fun or something like that, but is it obvious that Jesus is in charge? What does it really practically look like for Jesus to be the functional head and leader? And I think this is so convicting for me, because I think we do it all the time, right? We pray at the beginning and the end of something, and it's kind of like, check, we acknowledge Jesus in this place, but then do we just do everything on our own? Are we giving Jesus a word? It's so important, friends, that we learn to listen to Jesus and that we actually implement that in our everyday lives. That we actually recognize that practically and functionally, Jesus is the head of this church, of our disciple groups, of our fellowships, of our lives. He is the functional and practical head of our households, of our families. That we actually pause, we recognize that, and we allow Jesus to lead and to interrupt us. This is why I give us this refresher on listening to God. Yes, we should collectively discern God's voice on major church matters, but what about the everyday life? The everyday life of the church, of ministry, of your own lives. I know many of you help and volunteer and lead in different ministries here. What would it look like to give Jesus the floor more often? To actually let Jesus have a word as you're leading and as you're going about your ministries. Many of you as well are in disciple groups or fellowships. What does it look like to give Jesus the floor a bit more regularly? To actually just ask, Jesus, do you have anything you want to say to us? Even in our own day-to-day life, asking for input. Maybe you're making a decision. Are you pausing and inviting Jesus to functionally and practically be the head and the leader of your decision making? Or maybe in your day-to-day life, you don't even have a decision. What does it look like to interrupt your own day-to-day life and just ask, Jesus, is there anything you want to say to me? Is there anywhere you're leading me? Is there anything you want me to know? And be open-handed and allow him to interrupt our lives. Can we give Jesus practically this role of being the functional head in our church and our lives, where we pause and allow him to speak? In this mini series that we've kind of done around Easter, before and after, we've looked at this idea of a Christ-centered life. We've looked a bit about what that means, right? We've looked at the fourfold gospel. We looked at what even is a disciple. What does discipleship mean? And here we're talking about listening to Jesus and practically allowing him to lead us. Friends, as I talked about at the beginning, it's obvious that we're all formed by something. We're all formed and we're changed by so much around us, so much content. We're in such a content-driven society right now, right? We're so formed by these things, and there's so much around us that forms us and shapes us and changes us. And my prayer through this series is that we could be formed by the good King Jesus. That we could shape our lives around nothing but Christ alone. that we could practically, even as I'm hoping today is a practical message for us, that we can center our lives around him, not just saying we do, but actually in your day-to-day life as you go about, as you go to work, you go to school, that you are letting Jesus interrupt you and speak and letting him practically be the lead in your life. Can we be a people that actively and regularly listen to Jesus, who know his voice, and who follow him wherever he goes? And I want to acknowledge, I think this is something that our church has been doing very well, and I think we're on a great trajectory of being a people that know the voice of Jesus. So I want to encourage you in that, and encourage us, let's continue on. There's always more for us in Christ. Let's continue on as we know the abundant life of Jesus, as we allow him to form us, not just on Sundays, not just when we meet in our groups, but in our everyday life, allowing him to interrupt us, to challenge us, and listening and being aware of his voice, not missing it in the busyness of life, but giving him access to the busyness, to your everyday, and inviting him in. So today I really want to give us some time to actually reflect on this and discuss this. So we're going to have some time in our discussion groups. But why don't we just pause in a word of prayer and just invite Jesus in this place and as we reflect on this message. So Jesus, first we do want to acknowledge that you are the head of the church and of our lives. Jesus, you alone are King. Pray this week that you would help us to take time to continue to know your voice. Jesus, I pray this week and moving forward that we would intentionally recognize that you are in charge. That you would help us to pause and to listen. That you would help us to slow down in the busyness and invite you in. And Jesus, for the church, we recognize that you are in charge here, and this is your church. Would we be a church that loves to be interrupted by you, Jesus? So would you speak, and would you come? In your precious name, amen. So I encourage you to work through those practices and reflect on this. What does it look like for you to give Jesus the floor in your life, in your ministries, as you go about your day today? And I encourage you to find some people. We're going to have some time to discuss this, reflect on this, process this together in community. So I encourage you, find some people around you. And you can use these if they're helpful or whatever's standing out to you. Feel free to discuss, and then we'll have one last response song.
It's gotten worse, but yeah, that was the issue. We changed too.